My guest at this time is Steve Holley, pastor of ministries at Emmanuel Bible Church in Springfield, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C. In the interest of full disclosure, it's also the church that I attend. We have asked Pastor Holley to react to the horrific Texas church shooting in a couple of different ways. We want to know how he and his fellow pastors are responding to such horrific news with their own congregation. And we want to get his reaction to many public statements and social media posts from folks in all walks of life suggesting that praying for those injured, the families of those killed, and our nation doesn't accomplish anything, and people ought to, quote-unquote, do something instead. And Steve, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, it's good to be with you, Greg.
Well, let's start.
And I'm sorry for the occasion that brings us together in this interview, but I do have a few thoughts on it, so I'm encouraged by the call.
Absolutely. Glad to have you with us, and I know we'll appreciate your insights on this. Let's start with the second thing I mentioned, and that's the reaction to people pointing out that they are praying for the people of Sutherland Springs, Texas. The tweet, for example, of the Speaker of the House asking for prayers of the people of that town elicited responses ranging from people calling prayers platitudes. Another said the murdered victims were in a church and that if prayers did anything, they'd still be alive. And there's a lot of different reactions to that. A lot of them, of course, want people to focus more on whatever their political agenda is. So what is your reaction when you hear people respond to prayer that way?
Well, you know, it shows that they really don't understand prayer, you know, that prayer is actually talking to the creator of the universe, who called all things into existence, who loves us, who cares for us, cares for our every need, who sent his son into this world to die for us, for our sin, and then by the power of his resurrection to give us life for eternity. So prayer accomplishes much. And the scriptures say that. The scriptures encourage people to pray. The Psalms are a songbook of prayer in many ways, and so I think that they're really having a limited view of what prayer can do. And I don't think it's it's platitudes at all. It's really beseeching God to help our country and our nation in its time of need, because that is what is taking place. It seems like every 2 weeks these events erupt, and they're horrific, and they're horrifying, and we are just amazed at the carnage and the evil. But prayer sustains the spirit of those who endure and persevere through it. Prayer helps to readjust our focus to understand that that God is sovereign, and that his will is in effect, and so we need to trust in him and to seek after him. And then with regard to the political agenda, you know, there's always, it seems that every time this happens, the agenda is gun control. The agenda is to move into, more restrictive type of things. And I think the real issue is not reactive, but proactive. And what are some things that we can do to help people maybe even curtail this, maybe even teaching our children that there is a God and that he has plans and purposes for everyone's life, and that there is a right and that there is a wrong, and that human life is valuable and that we cherish human life. And so I think maybe teaching those things in a huge way in our school systems and encouraging that type of thing will go a long way for us. Apparently this young man felt compelled to do what he did out of anger toward his ex-wife's parents. He was proclaimed a self-avowed atheist. He was angry and he wanted to take revenge out on those people. And I think it's training children along the way. How do you handle conflict? How do you handle difficulty? How do you work through those things and not have it end up with many people killed because you couldn't resolve the issues that you were struggling with? So I think those are some important things that we need to consider.
Let me have you follow up on that second tweet that I mentioned, and that was that if prayers did anything, they'd still be alive. I think there's a conventional wisdom, perhaps from people who don't spend a lot of time in church, perhaps, that if you don't get what you pray for, if it doesn't happen or doesn't happen when you want it to happen, that either God didn't hear it or God said no or something along those lines. What do you say to those folks?
Right. You know, the hard news is it's appointed for man once to die, and after that there's a judgment. So each of us, somewhere in God's day timer, has an appointment where we will face Him. And the real issue is, did I seek forgiveness of my sins through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and am I ready for that time? There is nothing that can prevent our death. We will not live one day longer than God wants us to, or one day shorter. He will have us at His appointed time. And so I think that people need to understand that's a significant thing. We don't live forever. And we need to make sure that our eternal security is taken care of, and that we've placed our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Pastor Holly, I want to get your thoughts on a couple different aspects here as well, and one of them is how you respond to families who have been through this. I know your church lost a member on 9/11, had another one very severely injured, and others impacted certainly by the attacks on the Pentagon, and then there was another member who was killed more recently at the Navy Yard shooting. So what message do you have for families who are strong in faith, yet obviously are dealing with a devastating loss?
Well, I think when we see that type of thing happening, we immediately try to get to their homes and just put our arms around them and love them and stay with them through the certainly through the shock and through the horror that they're facing. You try to comfort them with God's word, because that His word brings comfort. And you try to just encourage them. You don't say things like they're in a better place, or they're, you know, because you need to say I'm with you. And sometimes you just need to do what Job's friends did. Just be there. Just be there as sort of an anchor, as a means of encouragement, and just express your love for them and that you're with them. And I think those, you know, I think that's important for the people of Texas to tangibly reach out and touch those folks down there in Sutherland Springs, and to just to love them and tell them they're with them, and to walk with them. This is going to be a hard road for a long time for some of those families. There won't be a day that somebody goes by that church from now on that they don't think about what took place in there yesterday. And so the people of Texas and that community, larger community around that small town, need to think, what can we do to stand by these folks and encourage these folks and to show them God's love? That's what I would encourage them to do.
Pastor Holly, this is obviously not the first church shooting. I know a lot of folks can certainly remember the one in Charleston a couple of years ago, and there have been several others, fortunately with far lower casualty counts. But nonetheless, this is not as uncommon as we would all hope it would be. So for any folks, whether it's your own congregation or others, who are wondering if it's safe to go to church, what do you tell them?
Well, you know, at our church, at Emmanuel Bible Church, we've done everything that we possibly can to try to provide an environment where people can worship Christ and also where they can be safe. Now, is it 100% foolproof? I don't think there's any place. Well, maybe the White House is fairly foolproof, but even then, still people get on the grounds and they can be armed. So it requires, on the part of the leadership of the church, it requires putting together a safety and security team that will be vigilant, that will be communicating with each other, that will be keeping an eye on things, and as people come to worship, and they'll just they'll just do their jobs, and they have helped tremendously in the past with various situations that have arisen that many in the congregation never hear about or know about. But I think we have to, it's a call for all churches to be strong and vigilant, and the pastors have to protect their flock, and they need some folks out there that can volunteer and help out in that. And also just to, I would encourage churches to run through various scenarios and maybe even contact your local law enforcement agencies, and if they would come out and do an assessment of your church to see what are some things that you may need to consider as you try to bring about security to your church. You know, I can't even believe we're even talking about this. I think, you know, obviously having been raised in the 60s and 70s as a kid, just enjoying church and never worrying about something like this. But this is the world we are living in, and so we have to respond to it, and we have to do it in love, but we have to do it with you know, very wise precautions and helping our congregation, providing an environment for them to enjoy a good worship experience.
Well, Pastor Holly, as someone who attends your church, I thank you for all the steps you've taken, both in terms of security and of course, the ministry that you provide there. And thank you very much for your insights on this horrific story in Texas.
Sure. Glad to be a part of it, Greg. Thanks so much, and God bless you.
Thank you, sir. God bless you as well. Steve Holly is pastor of ministries at Emmanuel Bible Church in Springfield, Virginia, just outside Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.